Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to be later on talking to Lori Seltzer about her book, The Stillness of the Dawn. She'll be calling in later. My first guest is Everett Roberts. He's a playwright and an actor, and he's going to be directing, acting, and he wrote John Doe. Welcome, Everett.
Hi, Sherry. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Hi, how are you? You were saying that you also have a play that's going to be produced.
Published, actually.
Published, all right.
Yeah, that does, okay. My wonderful publishers over at Heartland Play Publishers have picked up, this will be my third play with them. It's called The Way Out West Gang Rides Again. It's a three-man comedy, kind of in the vein of something like the Marx Brothers or the Reduced Shakespeare Company, that sort of thing. But it is about three hapless actors in the Old West who end up having to face down a Old West outlaw and to save a theater. And it's just with three actors, so one actor plays... the actors switch parts and who's playing the outlaw and who's playing the heroine and who's, you know, that sort of thing.
Sounds interesting.
It's very, very slapsticky, very lighthearted, very comedic, very, it's kind of a send-up of the Old West-style melodramas where the girl gets tied to the railroad tracks and, you know, Dick Astley twirls his mustache. But it's all with three actors. And I originally did it with Nathan Goodwin, who was in the O. Henry show we just did on Sherry's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Spit, too. And mm-hmm. my brother. One of the few times I've gotten to act with my brother on stage. So when we premiered it a couple of years ago, and it's now being published. So that's exciting.
That's very exciting. Cool.
And it's the same publishing house that did Alice in Wonderland and the absolutely true story of Tom Sawyer.
And when it's published, that means like you can go to I forgot the name of this, Samuel.
What's that?
You know, we buy plays.
My publisher is Heartland
yeah.
Play Publishers. Heartland Play Publishers, and their website is, I'm pulling it up now, is heartlandplays.com.
And that's where you purchase it online?
Yes. Three of my plays are through them, and then the other two, I have one through a company called Black Box Theater Publishing Company. And you can find them on their website or on Amazon. And then my other one is through a company called The Script Company or The Script Co. So both of those are fairly new publishing houses. So kind of exciting opportunities to get some new works out there.
That's exciting. That's cool. And you've been published before, though.
Yes, this is... The Way Out West Gang will be my fifth play published in 4 years.
That's really cool. Now, you were recently at a convention promoting plays. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was it was called the UnComic-Con, UnComic-Con. It was a first year. It was in Wichita, Kansas. And... I got to sit on an author's panel with a bunch of really good authors, and then we did some readings, and I did a reading of my play Alice in Wonderland on Saturday, and then on Sunday we did my short children's play The First Adventure of Puss in Boots, and then we did a sneak preview of my upcoming Sherlock Holmes play called The Game is Afoot.
Which we're going to have on Sherry's Playhouse.
And we're going to premiere that on Sherry's Playhouse.
And we're still arguing over who's
really
going to play what part.
For the role of Irene Adler. So,
I want Irene Adler!
It's a great character, and I am looking forward to working on that script. I've been diligently writing it and crafting it with a good friend of mine who is a Sherlock Holmes aficionado. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's loosely based on the Universal Pictures Terror by Night Sherlock Holmes story. So,
which are always fun. If you've never seen that, parts of it are kind of corny, but Basil Rathbone is one of the best Sherlock Holmes ever.
Yes, he is. He was actually the first Sherlock Holmes I ever saw. Before I ever saw Jeremy Brett, I almost said, trying to flip him around, I knew that wasn't right. Before I ever saw Jeremy Brett, before I ever saw Charlton Heston as Holmes, before I ever saw any of the numerous Holmes that have been, I saw Basil Rathbone was the very first Holmes I saw. So.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He also was an expert swordsman. He taught Errol Flynn how to use the sword.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep, he did. He was he lost every fight, but he was the one who was the sword master. I kind of think that's kind of funny.
It's usually the way it goes, is, you know, they hire the one who is the most knowledgeable to throw the fight.
Lose.
Because... when I do stage combat stuff, I always tell people that the victim is actually the one in charge. So if, you know, you're doing stage combat and someone's choking you, the person being choked is actually the one who is in control.
That's true. So and also, even with the comedy, Danny Kaye was taught by him what's the name of it? It's a classic. It's the one with the pestle, with the vessel with the pestle. With Bruce.
Oh, I can't think. I can't think.
The court jester.
Yes.
And Basil Rathbone was the bad guy, but he taught everybody how to do the sword play.
Nice.
Including Danny.
Very nice. That's awesome. I did not know that.
It's also one of my favorite Danny Kaye movies.
Yeah, I have to check that one. I haven't seen that Danny Kaye movie in forever.
Yeah, they did a spoof on that on Xena with Joxer being the Danny Kaye character, and they gave a lovely tribute to Danny at the end of the episode.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I really like Ted Raimi. You bring up Joxer, I was like, I really like Ted Raimi as an actor. He always brings such a manic energy to his roles.
Yeah, and he's so intelligent. It's hard to believe when you watch him as Joxer how smart he is. But you find that out when you listen to him just being interviewed or watch him at a convention. Because he's very, very intelligent. And it's sort of like... you know, people who play these characters and they're known as these characters, like Larry Linville, who played Frank Burns in MASH, he was such a nice, intelligent man, and he played Frank for how many years? No wonder he burned out.
Yeah.
It must be hard, especially if you're a regular on a television show.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
But, yeah, playing a bad guy or a dimwit must take a lot out of you.
It does.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you feel John Doe is going, the new play that's coming on Sherry's Playhouse next month?
Well, we just had our first rehearsal on Sunday, and after a massive headache of trying
Skype
problems. Because if you don't know, when we rehearse, this is for your listeners, when we rehearse, because we are scattered all over the country, and even though this show has quite a few people that I know from Kansas, it wasn't intentional. Some of these people just auditioned, and Sherry would send me the email and go, what do you think of this person? I'm like, I know her. But we have people from California and Kansas and all of, you know. So we have to rehearse over Skype or over the phone. And so it took considerable effort to arrange the first rehearsal. But I think it went very, very well. Sherry didn't get to hear part of it, but
I got thrown off.
Yeah, we had to. When there's a part towards the end where we meet a couple of various John Does who are in cahoots with some of our antagonists, and they were the way I wanted them to be read, and which is amazing on a first rehearsal that I was able to, you know, they were able to say exactly, almost too tone perfect, the way I imagined it when I wrote it just blew me away. And Tanya was fabulous, is going to be fabulous as our lead and everything like that. She's a Sherry's Playhouse veteran. She's been in every
show.
Yeah,
well, she's been in every single play, so it's sort of hard for her.
But, you know,
not
every
person
she's done has been different, though, too. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's fun, it's exciting, it's going to be a great show. I was a little nervous at first that it, you know, I'm my own worst critic a lot of times.
Well, that's all of us. We all are.
For example, going back to, you were talking about the con, and one of the plays we did was this one. I titled the first adventure of Puss in Boots, and I was like, this play's stupid, I don't know. But some of my actors really connected to it and wanted to do it. And I'm like, all right, I'm leaving it in your hands. You know, this is not a script I'm very proud of. You know, I think it could be better or whatever. And it really connected to the audiences, and I was kind of taken back because I was not expecting it to be as well received as it was. And to be as funny as it was, and everything
yeah.
like that. And that's kind of the same thing with this. You know, I was a little nervous presenting it to some of the actors because I know they're incredibly talented actors. They're, you know, very smart, well-read, you know. For example, the gentleman that's playing Walter, the grandfather, has an Equus and Bus Stop and some great plays. And I worked with him in The Odd Couple and... You know, I've worked with Tanya on a bunch of stuff. Dee, who's playing the mother Allison on that new Amazon original show, Hand to God with Ron Perlman. I'm like, oh, man, these people are doing my show. Why are they doing my... And I was sitting next to Ray. He had actually come over because he lives here. And he was sitting next to me. And he was just grinning and laughing, and during one of the little breaks, he was like, this is really good, and this could, you know, this should be done on stage. And I'm like, well, I wrote it to be done on stage. And we're just loosely adapting it for the air. And so it gives you such a really good, you know, sense of accomplishment when you hear the words come to life and people really connecting to the material.
And how long was the running time when you were at the convention?
Well, we didn't do John Doe at the convention. What we did, we had 30 minutes each day to present the play. And so Alley in Wonderland, which we did Saturday, took right at 30 minutes. And that was just a staged reading. There was no action. There was no very little, you know, that sort of thing. Very little audience interaction that the play calls for. That. And then Sunday we did shoot, we did the first scene from Holmes, which takes about 10 minutes, and then the first adventure of Puss in Boots, which takes place in 10 minutes. I had originally written it for a contest that called for it to be done in 10 minutes. So those two took about 20 minutes total.
And you tell you the reaction to it was really good.
Yes.
I just got word Lori is trying to call in. She is having an issue with her Skype. So please, for the audience who's calling in for Lori, please bear with us. She will call in as soon as she can.
Yeah. Skype's been kind of a bear lately.
Skype has been a bear lately. Absolutely. It's been terrible. We had a major issue, like Everett was saying, on Sunday, trying to get together. It would let some people in, it wouldn't let other people in. It was being just a bear.
Yeah.
And we ended up having to do a group cell call, which not my favorite way of doing a rehearsal.
No, mine either.
So bear with us. We're hoping that Lori will be able to join in as soon as she can. So for those people who are listening in for Lori, bear with us. Everett, now you are doing two plays this season. You did one play last season. Do you see a difference?
I don't know. It's different for sure to be doing two plays, totally different from each other and from the one that I did last season. Murder at Home and the Sherlock Holmes will share a few elements together, but you know, I think the game is afoot, is going to be a lot more fun. It's going to be a lot more lighthearted. Murder at Home had some heavy themes to it.
Yes, it did.
And the Sherlock Holmes one's going to be a lot more fun. It's going to, you know, we're already started writing it. I've got homages in there to Sweeney Todd, to Les Mis, Edgar Allan Poe's Dupin character. From Murders at the Rue Morgue is a character in the show. So it's going to be very big. It's going to be very bright. It's going to be, yes, it's going to deal with murder and theft and all that, but it's going to be a lot bigger and brighter. And John Doe is very comedic and has these nice slapstick almost elements to it until the end where it has a nice message about, you know, about what's really important in life. And so, but it is interesting to look at this body of work and go, well, there's no real, you know, some writers really have themes to their work. You can look at all of Neil Simon stuff, and you can definitely see a similar theme that runs through from The Odd Couple to Lost in Yonkers to Fools, all that. There's kind of a thematic element that runs through. And maybe that's because he's Neil Simon and I'm not. But at the same time, it's kind of been fun dipping my toe into different genres of theater, from, you know, theater for young audiences to classic murder-style mysteries to Sherlock Holmes to, you know, comedy. So that's definitely fun.
Well, I love Murder at Home. Mostly I love both parts of it, but I kind of love my part the most. Because I got to play a femme fatale, and I never would do that in real life.
Yeah, and that's fun. And that's what's nice about doing the radio theater stuff is you get the chance to make play characters never got to play before. Like, you know, you're getting to play a Femme Fatale, which you've never gotten to play before. In the Demonic Infinite play that closed out the season last year, Tanya got to play the grandmother, and then this year she's gotten to play two young 20-something-year-old actors and or characters. And so, you know, it's all in the voice and the inflection. Oh, you can go business, you can be young, you can do kind of whatever you want as long as your voice is able to maintain consistency. And that's a potential challenge for radio, for writing for radio theater, too, is, you know, how do you express what's going on a lot of times without someone, without seeing. Yes, dialogue, you have to use that sort of thing.
I think that one of the things that's fun about that show is that it had the two different scenarios.
Uh-huh.
And the they were kind of different. The only thing that really connected them was the murder.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Was there an inspiration?
It was. I really connected to, well, the second, Olivia's Room, the second half of the Murder at Home play was, you know, my attempt at doing the Casper of Montadala and kind of diving into that story. And the first half was, you know, me wanting to kind of explore the underside of, like, the 1940s, 50s culture. I think we have this idealized version propagated by Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver, that sort of thing, of what that world was like. We have this idealized. And I hear a lot of people going, you know, why can't it be like it was back when I was a kid?
Yeah.
And I've said that myself before, and I grew up in the 80s. But, you know, but everything wasn't so perfectly black and white to kind of, you know, borrow a metaphor there. And, you know, there's a twist at the end of 10 Minutes to Live, the first half of Murder at Home, that reveals that two characters are working together and have a relationship that they would not have been. No, I'll just say, two of the characters are left. And they would not have been able to live openly. They would not be able to enjoy, really, their relationship like they are now. And so there is this subtext to it that, you know, on one hand, you know, maybe things were a little easier or something, but we live in a much better culture today. And so that's kind of the
end. Yeah. I think the fun thing about that was that, you know, people don't realize that. Everybody goes, oh, well, it was a square period, but not really, because a film noir came from that period.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't square at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, Skype would not allow Lori to connect. It gave her a really hard time. So for Lori's fans, hopefully we'll be able to figure this out and do it at another time. I want to thank you, Ev, for filling in and helping me and chatting away. And I really, really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
You're a doll.
Anytime. Love coming
and you're
you
my hero.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ev.
Thank you, Sherry. It's always fun to be on your show.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.